You are listening to Any Given Sunday, Australia.
Yes, hello and welcome to the Any Given Sunday Australia podcast, the number one podcast in at least three households, one studio, the Gridiron Australia headquarters, ABC headquarters, hopefully up in Brisbane now in the Seven News headquarters, because we've got joining us now is a veteran in the college punting game community, the Australian punting community. He's a Central Oklahoma football alum, but now reports for Channel 7 up in Queensland. Number 16, formerly number 16, for the Bronchos, the Broncos. Mr. Ned Barm, how are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. How are you? That's a good intro. I like that.
Well, I do work on these for quite some time, probably more than what I probably need to tell you, but
A veteran of the punting game.
Well, you are, which we're going to get into. But why we got you on and good to speak to you about is because you're not one of these new guys that have just come through. You're 10, 15 years ago, you were getting into this game, which I feel like is quite a veteran now.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm old enough to be like old and curmudgeon. It's like you guys have no idea how hard we had it back in the day trying to get to the US. You're all getting over there and all that stuff. But it's like, it's awesome because when I was over there, so when I was in the US for about, 10 years ago, you know, saying that it was 10 years ago this year that I went over to the States, that makes me feel older than having two kids now. Like, genuinely, that makes me feel older saying that it was a decade ago now. But even then, I was saying to all my teammates there, like, there's no reason why every punter at a US college shouldn't be an Australian. Mm-hmm. Like, I can name you a dozen blokes that probably have a better leg than me, and that's not even including the left footers that are their own bloody breed anyway.
They're all cheats, the left footers. Oh, yeah.
Don't trust them.
I think we're upwards of at least like 60 or 70 now. So we're
ProKick put up a post the other day and it just like listed all the Australians and what colleges and stuff they're playing at. It was phenomenal. It was a phenomenal list. Like, especially if you're going through like all divisions, there's a lot of us over there.
And that's the thing. And you could, if you ask the blokes down at ProKick, they could list off a bunch of blokes that they've played footy with, where the only difference is, you know, maybe they've just got a different path they want to do. Maybe they've got a partner. Maybe they've got a job. Maybe they just don't want to leave Australia, or they just, maybe it doesn't interest them, but they've all got better legs than some of the blokes there too. Like, there's this great big other pool of players that could easily be there, but just for whatever reason aren't.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're not talking about them. We're talking about you. So I want to, we just literally just spoke about this, but I want to say why I called it the Bronchos. It does. It's a Broncos, but with a H. So, You guys there at Colorado, Oklahoma, you've embraced that H though, you're just saying.
Yeah, so I was told, and I'm just taking this at face value, they could have been taking the piss out of me, I don't know.
100%
but,
real.
But they essentially say the Broncos with an H in particular was native to Oklahoma at that, like that area of Oklahoma, and they were just the Broncos with an H. I didn't do any like, the terrible thing to admit for a journalist. I didn't do any background on this. I didn't verify that or anything. I just took it totally at face value. But I mean, no one else runs with Broncos with an H, so we embrace it wholeheartedly. Even the Brisbane Broncos, can you believe this? They misspell Broncos up here. It's wild.
What do you mean?
They don't spell with an H.
Yeah. It's stupid. You say that every time that you speak to one of the players or?
Hey.
You'd say that every time you speak to a Broncos with no H, you say, mate, you're playing for the wrong side.
Yeah, it's probably why they don't have me at training anymore.
I love the fact that you said that as a journalist, you did like no further research. Welcome to the story of our life. We'd read an article and then we put it out to the world. That's it. There's no background information whatsoever.
Let the world decide. I'm a bit more diligent when it comes to the actual work that pays me.
fair enough. I'd like to say that we are too, but it's probably not as true, Danny. But all right, the question I like to start with that the boys always give me a bit of shit about, but just to get inside your brains a little bit and see how you rumble, is just three people that you'd have at a dinner party.
Yeah. Right, so I want to go an athlete first. And athlete, Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Aha, I have seen you dressed up like him in the past.
He is the only athlete that I reckon as an adult I've fanboyed over. Like, in terms of if I saw him at an airport, I would be like, oh my God, should I go up and say hi? Should I not? Everyone else, I reckon I could take or leave. I'd just be like, oh, it's pretty cool. I saw them, but he's the one I'd have. Stephen Fry, he's just well-spoken. Feel like he knows a lot about everything. And then, are we talking alive or dead? Or both?
Whatever you want,
mate. Oh, third would be John Madden.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, just to talk football. And you think, like, he'd, like, commentate a lot, too.
Yeah.
He'd talk through the meal and stuff like that. And, you know, like, remember all of his broadcasts on Thanksgiving were hilarious because he'd just talk about all the food on the table and stuff like that. So I reckon, Zlatan, Stephen Fry, John Madden to commentate it all.
Yeah,
is my pick.
I'd love to see John Madden and Zlatan sitting there just having a conversation and just wherever that would take you.
And Stephen Fry's just checked out. He does not want to be there at all.
He'd just be learning and just taking it all in.
Yeah, he'd take it all in and he'd do a documentary about it or something.
Yeah, yeah. So you grew up over in Mandurah in WA, is that right?
Oh, I've bounced around a lot. I'm an Adelaide boy originally.
Yeah.
And then moved to Melbourne when I was 7, then moved to WA when I was 14.
Yeah.
Was there for 7, but then it was in each place equally 7 years.
Yeah.
Before I went to the US.
So you were a Mandurah boy, that's what I'm going with.
Yeah, why not? That's where I went to the States from. Yep.
There we go. That's what that was the last thing that I could read about you online. So
yeah.
But were you a typical Aussie kid, just football, cricket, and like, did you even know about the NFL growing up?
Yeah, I knew about it. I was never any good at cricket, so I was always looking for a sport to like in summer.
Yeah.
And I was like a bigger kid growing up, so contact sport, I preferred that. Then all of a sudden, I think the first game I remember watching was maybe in the 2000 Super Bowl, the Ravens. I think I had no idea what I was watching. But I think that was the first game I watched. I was always playing Aussie rules. My old man played for Richmond, like, and then played 15 years professionally in the Sandful in South Australia. So like, I was always playing footy and he was a fullback with a big leg and I hated running. So I'm just like, yeah, I'll do that. And I'll just do the exact same thing as him. Just not to the same level. So yeah, just a lot of Aussie rules, but I loved NFL or American football just because it was that contact sport you could watch in summer when everyone else was playing this game that I was absolutely rubbish at. Like, so that was really the kind of, on a personal level, like because my uncle Neil is in the AFL for a long time too, and he, on a personal level, knows Darren Bennett as well. So that was how I ended up being a Vikings fan. Is because when I first got into American football, Darren Bennett was the punter for the Vikings. I didn't do my research and found out that was actually his last year in the league. He played 14 years for the Chargers before that.
Timing is everything.
Way, like, that fork in the road brings us to the same place because it's just disappointment for everyone. Like, the Chargers and Vikings aren't doing anything anyway.
At least the Vikings, you know, you made it to the playoffs last year. Unfortunately, just got absolutely bounced by the Giants, but at least you were there.
It was a fun season, except for the fact that you knew it was going to come to a crashing end eventually once we got into the playoffs. It's a coping mechanism the Vikings fans have just created for ourselves, I guess.
And we're talking to a lot of the pro kick lads about their journeys, but we imagine 10, 15 years ago in WA was quite different to how it is now. How did punting get on your radar and how did you make it into reality?
Yeah, well, I initially started playing American football just locally in the Gridiron West comp over there. And it was by pure luck that I found my local club because I actually went into town, into around Claremont, to find a place there to go play. And I got the wrong night. So I went out there and no one was there. So it was great time. So I drove with my brother who was driving me out there. We drove back, and as we drove past these rugby grounds, I looked over and there's blokes wearing helmets and pads, and I didn't realise there was actually a club like 2 minutes around the corner from me. They were the Perth Blitz. I think they're the Murdoch Vikings now. I think they've kind of gone into become a uni club. So I played there for a bit, and as like 16 to 18 or something like that, as like a linebacker, stuff like that. Just linebacker and punted and linebacker. And yeah, they just really enjoyed that aspect of it. But getting over to America was totally different 10 years ago. We didn't really, if I'm not sure if pro, I didn't go with ProKick. I essentially went independently. I don't think ProKick had much of an established base in WA at that time. It was more of a situation where I'd have to fly myself over to Melbourne more like consistently to get a good run at it, and which just wasn't possible at the time. So it was just a huge family effort, really. I'd go out kicking with my dad. We'd get a tripod. We'd film it all. We'd get it on a stopwatch. We'd cut up tape, all that stuff. We knew it. Most, you know, universities are looking for, you know, just yada yada, at least above four four at the bottom end, you know, like that kind of stuff. And we just cut it all up. And then my mum, on the administrative side of things, set up full on spreadsheets, like spreadsheets hundreds of rows long of just here are all the universities in the Big 12. Here's all the universities in the Big Ten. I'm pretty sure what was the one that's defunct now? I'm pretty sure this is how long ago I was. I'm pretty sure the Big East was still a thing.
Yeah.
And I had like a row for the Big East. Here's all these contacts from there all the way down to, you know, 1AA, D2, all that stuff, with special teams coach, athletic director, head coach, emails for all of them. That thing.
That's
so
huge.
We do the kicking, we do the punting, we cut up all the footage, put it in a link, and then for about 4 or 5 months, you know, I would be at my mum and dad's office because they ran a real estate business over there. So I'd be in their office from about 8 o'clock at night till about 3 in the morning, just emailing and cold calling athletic directors, special teams coaches, saying, "Have you seen my tape that's come through? Have you seen my tape that's come through?" And it was just that for an extended period of time. A lot of conversations involving, you know, like, "Hey man, we love your tape, but oh, we just don't have any money available right now. Would you consider walking on?" No, that's a long way to go, and I haven't got the
huge walk.
So a lot of like really good email chains with a lot of really good universities that ended with, "Would you like to walk on?" So it was like a 4 or 5 month process of just getting up each day, doing the same thing, cold calling, hoping to get a good response. And I remember 4 months in, I went on a holiday to Hong Kong for about 5 days, and I came back and I was just like, "I'm done. I'm done with this process. Like, if it was going to happen, it would have happened by now." And then it happened really late in the piece. We're talking June, and I signed in June there by, actually no, signed in July there in August. Like,
shit.
That. So it was
literally,
it was just, yeah, that quick, just hectic. And it feels like a million years ago. And then when you consider like how it just had to be done because of the circumstances, it was just crazy. Super thankful to mum and dad. Like,
yeah, definitely. Shout out to mum for the spreadsheet.
Shout out to mum and dad. They were doing all of that for something they didn't want because they didn't want me to leave.
Maybe there was heaps of emails that come through and mum was just like, "Nah, that's too promising. Nah, that's good." Just send him onto the shit ones and hopefully he drops off the perch.
Maybe. We've got to give him some disappointment. Let's break his spirit. You
know? Yeah, break him down and then hopefully he doesn't leave us.
He'll stay with mum and dad, yeah.
Beautiful. So I was settled on with Central Oklahoma just purely by chance that they were the ones that got back into you. Because your study was pretty huge as well. Like, you were there for 4 years studying. Did that come into it at all?
I mean, at that stage, not really. Like, you couldn't. I did what a lot of guys do. You know, you look at the area, you look at the facilities and all that stuff. I got lucky that they came across at the right time for me, and I had a look, and like the, you know, the facilities were really good for D2. God, they're even better now. But ridiculous.
It's a decade ago, mate. That's so long ago.
I know. It's ridiculous. They put up all the stuff as soon as I left. I always wanted to go somewhere a bit different, like, as in, I didn't want to go to like a big city or anything. I didn't want to have the college experience in, say, you know, New York or Philadelphia or you know, in the, like Los Angeles or anything like that. I like the idea of going in the middle of the country somewhere, or just somewhere more, just I guess tribal. You know, like football is everything in Oklahoma. Like it's that and wrestling. It's like they're the two. They are the two things in Oklahoma: football and wrestling. It was like, and it was awesome. It was the best possible thing I could have made. Like, it was, I loved every bit of it over there, and I had the best teachers over there. It was a great place to study. But degrees held me in good stead, and you still chat with my mates all the time. Like, just all the time. Been back there, visited a few times, just couch surfing across Oklahoma, just because your mates are your mates. They've got kids now too, but it doesn't matter. They've still got a couch available for you because you went through all the terrible summer conditioning practice together, and you went through everything together. So it's just like, yeah, it's the best. Like, nothing changes.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll speak about your study, because you had a fair few, from what I could find, media jobs helping at football clubs and stuff, even before you went over there. So what did you end up studying, and what were you doing while you were there?
Yeah, so I like this because it allows me to take the piss out of a lot of people. So technically I have a Bachelor of Science, which is great.
You're like a Bachelor of Arts, where it's just literally...
I honestly think that's like the American equivalent. It's called a Bachelor of Science. I was doing a Bachelor of like Journalism and Communications when I was over there, but because of the timing, I did all, you know, like 3 years of that, but then found out that to get my actual like degree, I'd have to do like a 3 or 6 month like unpaid internship type deal just to make it a reality. So I'd do all the study, all the marks would be exactly as they should, but I don't know, I think it's like the American college's way of keeping you in there for an extra bit of tuition. But then I was just like, I was coming off scholarship. Yeah. We didn't have the money to keep me over there on full tuition, you know, and my visa is a certain way that you are only limited to work certain hours.
Hmm.
So I didn't have the money. I wouldn't have the hours to earn the money to live over there just to do an unpaid internship. So then I changed from journalism to just a Bachelor of Science, General Studies with like a major. But I had to go back in my last semester. I had to get special permission to do 9 subjects in a semester so I could just graduate before my scholarship ran out. And one of them was like university level physics and something else. And I dropped science in year 9 in Australia because I was that bad at it.
Perfect.
And now I got a...
Now you're a Bachelor of Science.
Bachelor of Science. Yeah. So I like that, because anytime I'm on like a science job for work, I can be like, I'll take it from here. I know what we're talking about. But yeah, always just wanted to end up in mostly sport media. Did a lot of little bits here and there, work experience down in Melbourne, Geelong, Collingwood, and a few pieces here and there. Just a lot of different AFL places. And then first job out of uni was with the Fremantle Dockers in their media department, which even the sports media clubland environment has changed so much over the past six, seven years, with the kind of like content creator was a very kind of new role back in, you know, 2015, 16. It was still, I did a lot of like match reports. It was still very footy centric, which I loved. But then it was just a bit different, and then all of a sudden just got onto the other side of the ledger, moved from WA to Wagga Wagga to be a sport journo, and was in Wagga Wagga for 4 years, and then came up here to not be a sport journo. So it's just, it'll take
you to use that Bachelor of Science at some point, mate.
Oh, it'll, you know, it's it looks good on paper, you know. Looks good on paper. I give my brother shit. My brother's a lawyer, and I'm like, well, you're not the smart one, are you, though? You don't have a Bachelor of Science, though, you know. He's like, explain this. I'm like,
I don't have to do that to you, man.
I don't have to lower myself to talk to someone like you.
Exactly.
I'll just talk to my other science mates.
Nice. Did you, from what I read, did you have a small gig on a radio show over there?
Yeah, so I just did it. So we had a really good program at uni, just with like a news program there. So they had their own studio, everything in set, and you'd end up doing a semester where you'd essentially produce like almost like a daily or every second day you produce a 30-minute bulletin, just consistently. And part of that was doing stuff with football, being, you know, I could kind of like double dip because I was doing that class, but also part of football as well. And so it just allowed you to do quite a few different things. So I did a few different radio spots. Before I went over to the States, I did some radio spots just with like Sport FM in WA, just talking American football. And then when I was over there, I took 3 days and flew to Connecticut to do just fly on the wall stuff at ESPN, just to get a look at the mothership, get to look at the big ESPN setup, which is just incredible. Like out in the middle of nowhere in Connecticut, and all snow's piled up 2 meters high, and there's just this big TV station there. So I sat in on like Colin Cowherd's show, and just seeing how he goes about his business, and then sat in on like the NFL live set and all that. It was just a different beast, an absolute different beast.
Mm. What an incredible experience all that would have been. Yeah. But you moved over pretty quickly, as we said. You signed in July, was over there in August. How was it moving out of home and going to Oklahoma? Had you been before?
I'd never been to Oklahoma before. I've been to the States. The first time I went to the States was a year earlier. Actually, it was when my girlfriend, now wife, went to visit, and we went to my first ever game of football. We went to the 2012 Rose Bowl game. Russell Wilson's last game for Wisconsin. And I don't know who else was on the team.
He's the important one.
Exactly. That's all I remember.
I'm going to find out if there's anyone actually important on there.
DeAnthony Thomas, I think. Kiko Alonso, maybe. I think he was linebacker for Oregon at the time. I didn't know much about Oklahoma at all, to be honest. It was wild. Like, it was, I didn't know what to expect. Like, it's just wide open plains, not much going on, but the people are lovely and they love their football. And that was honestly enough for me. Like, I didn't need great, like, big tourist attractions to go to or that. We would, when you're on the football team, you just hang around on campus and you go to practice. And if you get a spare minute at 7 o'clock at night, you're like, hey, do you want to go to Academy Sporting Goods and look at the cleats or look at the sweatpants or something? And then you just do that for like an hour. And then you might go to like the mall or something like that. And if it's a bit warmer, you might go to the lake and that's it. Like, but Oklahoma was awesome because it was chilled. It was laid back. They love Australians. Like, they're really welcoming to us. They're really welcoming to Australians. The first couple of weeks was pretty scary for my parents because, literally within a few days of me arriving there, there was another Australian on, who lived over there at the time, and he was playing baseball, at a campus about an hour south of Oklahoma or Oklahoma City. I can't remember for the life of me. I can't remember his name at the moment, but, he was a student athlete over there playing baseball, and he was shot. He was shot and killed in a random, totally random act of violence. And then there's mum and dad back home hearing Australian student athlete in Oklahoma shot. And they're just freaking out, obviously.
Okay. Would have been terrifying for him.
Right. And that was one of those weird situations where it's like, what's going on here? Is this something I should be worried about? Is this a regular occurrence over here that happens? Like, there's, like, every now and again, for the most part, like, America feels really similar to Australia in a lot of ways. But then there's just like a couple of little things here and there that just reminds you of how different it is. But I loved Oklahoma. I loved living there. It's a reason why I won't go back to the US without going back to Oklahoma. Like, which sounds weird when you're like, where are you going to go? Yeah, I'm going to go to Seattle. I'm going to go to New York, and I might check out Chicago. And then obviously I'll go past Oklahoma. and see all the great tourist sites there, like my mate's place. And that's about it.
But I guess the football life, especially if you're living and breathing it, like you were saying, creates a big brotherhood.
Oh, it's the best. Like my wife and I got married in Europe about 6 years ago, and one of my groomsmen, like, he'd never been outside of the States, but we dealt with so much at the time. We were roommates the whole time, just going through just the licks and everything of college football. And like we organized his passport for him just so he could get to my wedding, you know, like that's the type of stuff that you do especially for your teammates and stuff, because you're all that each other's got for the most part. Like, especially the out of state, like a lot of out of state players, you know, being Oklahoma, where you try and build from within to build a culture, but naturally Oklahoma, you do look interstate. You're not Florida that's got the best high school players in the country, you know, like you don't have this huge pool. So you have quite a lot of interstate players to be teammates with, and we treated each other the same, really. We're both not from here, and you try and spend as much time on campus as possible so you can like bond with each other. So we just spend every single waking day with each other. You live in the same room, and then you go to the same classes, and then you go to practice, and then you go to study hall, and then you go to the library together to make sure that, you know, your grades are right so you can play and graduate. And then you go back to your dorm where they're sleeping 3 feet away from you. Like, you're just living in each other's pocket the whole time, which is why you could not chat for a couple of months and you pick up the phone and like nothing's changed. That's the best thing about it. It's just such a rare atmosphere that it's hard to replicate anywhere, really.
For sure. For sure. And how was the first game where you suited up?
Well, I shit myself. my first punt ever was when we took a sack. Oh, it was like first drive of the game. I'm pretty sure we had like a run for like -3 yards, and then it ran a screen that went -2, and then we took a sack. So, and that was coming off a touchback. So that would have been 20 yards out from our own end zone, -3, -5, -7. So I'm punting. My heels are at the back of my own end zone on my first ever punt. And they're just bringing the house at me, trying to force a safety or something like that. So I had that long to get rid of it. And I've still got like the video, and the snap was like a foot out to my right too. So I had to jump out, and they've overloaded the left side coming this way, because we were on the right hash. And so they've overloaded that side, and they're coming out, and the ball's closer to them. So it's literally just get it, go, and that's it, and then chase. But I'll never forget that. First ever punt. Jeez, terrifying.
Jerry, how far it went?
Far enough. It was one of those situations where you get off the ground and they say, "Hey, good job getting it away." Like, that's,
yes, sir.
Like, that's the level there. But yeah, everything kind of chilled out a bit after that. It was interesting, because like my 2 years there, our philosophies changed. We changed. So I played 2 seasons there. I was there at uni for 3.5. Played junior, senior year there. And our like special teams philosophy changed from year 1 to 2. So first year was very much a roll-out rugby style kick. Second year was more directional punting, pin them between the number and the sideline. So a lot of my first year, I didn't really get to roost too many, like actually just line up and just try and launch them into space. Cause there's a lot of just roll out rugby stuff. Cause our coverage team wasn't crash hot. So we're just trying to like give us time to get down there. Second year we were better, but we were still kind of a bit more conservative. So it was a lot of drop punts, a lot of end over ends, just making sure we could pin them, you know, use the sideline as our friend type deal. But it was just, yeah, like it's such a high pressure role. Like it's, It's really quite incredible when you think about it. When people say you just have one job, it's like, I know we got one job. That's why it's really important that we don't stuff it up.
Do you have a favorite game or a favorite memory from these times?
Got my second season. So first year, I'm pretty sure we were coming off. I think the uni may have been coming off sanctions from the previous coach at some stage. So we were limited in like the amount of scholarship money and stuff we could give or whatever. So there was a period in my first year where we were still kind of like, they were kind of trying to get certain people off the roster type thing, trying to reset the culture and things like that. So my first year we went 2-8, and my second year we went 8-4, like just out of nowhere. And our first game, we played Fort Hayes on the road, and that was amazing in my second year, because I remember walking into the stadium and they're playing like banging over the speakers. They're playing Weed and Boys by Wiz Khalifa on the road. And then it's just like, just looking at my mate, who's my best mate, like our middle linebacker. And he's just like shaking his head. And he's just like, factually incorrect. They're not. We are. And then we ended up beating them. But it was like 3 weeks, week three, we were playing Missouri Western. And they were ranked at maybe like 20th in the country at the time. And we hadn't beaten them in like 5 years or something like that. And I remember the game specifically because it was one of those games where I had a snap that went about 6 feet over my head. And I had to chase it back about 20 yards. And it luckily just candy hopped back up to me at the time. And I was able to wheel around and get a snap off down the field, which... The Americans think is the most athletic thing anyone could ever do in the world ever. Like run down a footy and pick it up and snap it back over your shoulder. It's just like, how do you contort your hips in that way? It's just a snap of the footy. But then they were like the next drive after that, they had to, because they were out of range because of the kick, they had to settle for a field goal, which we blocked, like just that kind of thing. But then we beat them with the last play because they had like 60 yards to go for the go-ahead touchdown with a minute left. And one of my best mates, who is also like an interstate guy, picked them off and ran it back for a pick six.
Ooh,
like huge. as the clock expired. And it was one of those weird things like from a movie where all of a sudden you're celebrating on the ground and all of a sudden the whole stadium is on the ground with you. And there's like, you've got the crazy ice hockey players who are like, jumping 12 feet down from the stadium just to get on the field. Everyone else is going down the stairs, and then the ice hockey guys are crazy, so they just like jump down and just don't care about anything. And then there's just a whole crowd, the whole like ground is full of people, and then there's one random guy that's just waving a huge American flag in the middle of the crowd, and you're just like, am I in a dream right now? What is going on here? So like that game, just because snap, punt over the back over the shoulder, which was important, and then the way we finished it against a ranked team that no one expected us to beat, just like sticks with us forever and ever.
Yeah, that's awesome. I do have some stats for you. I know your biggest bomb was 61 yards, which is it's no mean feat. That's a good little ball. But in that game, you said you weren't sure if any other players were playing. We had Melvin Gordon, who went on to have a pretty good running back career, and James White, who won a Super Bowl. So
I'll take
some pretty decent players in that Rose Bowl that you went and watched with Russell Wilson as well.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah.
Not bad.
I'm pretty sure, what is it? Yeah, Melvin Gordon was backing up Monty Ball at the time, I think.
Aha, he's on it. Yeah, bang on. Look
Monty
at that.
Ball was like, Wisconsin for some reason have got like four of the top five rushes in like college football history. Like or some of something ridiculous, just because their offensive lines are always amazing. So, yeah, that's.
I love that you just ripped that out. That was 13 years ago, and you just ripped that out. That's awesome.
Yeah, too much.
Nowadays, I'm like you've already mentioned
much useless knowledge.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm full of that shit too. Yeah. Don't worry. Nowadays, you mentioned you're a father of two, and things are pretty different. You're very straight up and down, especially with work. But back in college days, you were rocking a really long surfer blonde hair. Things have definitely changed.
Yeah, I've gone corporate, and I've gone corporate and chased the money. You know, as you can see, you know, this big old, this huge mansion I've got behind me. It's really playing up for me. Yeah, so I didn't cut my hair after high school because I went to like all boys Catholic school. So as soon as I finished up there, I was like, didn't cut the hair. You know, didn't cut the hair. Put some color through it. Actually, how my wife and I met. Actually, she's my hairdresser. go figure.
Really? Meant to be.
Yep. And yeah, then once I thought, hey, I might give this news caper a try, my potential employer at the time said, how attached are you to your hair? And I said, not enough to stay unemployed. I think that was the official line I gave them. But, yeah, as you can imagine, you cop a ton of grief, especially in, the US, in, conservative Oklahoma as a foreigner coming in as a punter with hair hanging out the back of the helmet.
What was the longest you reckon it got to?
Oh, middle of my back, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of games where I got some mates on the teammate to braid it. Which is like not cornrow, thankfully. Yeah, just like
the whitest three, black guy I've ever seen there.
Oh, like just the three, so just the one down the middle, almost like Viking style, not cornrow, because like that's more of a Bali thing, you know what I mean? It's like
you're really taking some Australian stereotypes, though, like surfer long blonde hair. They would have just thought you're the poster boy of Australia.
Yeah, they didn't have to know I'm rubbish at surfing.
Yeah, but I'll be all. I grew up in Torquay. Can't stand up.
Mandra's a beach town. And I just leaned on the fact that I was from Adelaide and Melbourne. I'm like, nah, we don't do that down there.
Too cold down there.
Exactly.
You had two pretty good seasons with the Broncos. Was there any NFL aspirations or?
Not really. Not really. I don't think I ever really like had the passion to do what was required at the next level, which is obviously, you know, you're traveling around to camps and stuff like, you know, just a lot of different camps and all that stuff. Obviously, being more of an independent guy outside of Pro Kick, it was a bit harder for me in terms of like, I couldn't just ring up a group of guys that I went over there with and were like, hey, do you want to like get together on the circuit and have a kick as we prepare for, you know, the next level and stuff like that. And truth be told, I was homesick by the end of it. In retrospect, I probably wish I kind of stuck it out a bit longer. But like my wife and I were also doing long distance at the time. So, you know, there were plenty of, and I had a job lined up at the Fremantle Dockers. So, you know, I had plenty of reason to come home after 3 years. And truthfully, the last thing, I wasn't good enough.
That helps.
That's it. Like, let's be real about it. Like, I don't think I was good enough, probably because in my heart, I probably wasn't like I said, passionate enough to really commit what needs to be done to do that. And that was why I was just like, you know, I'm happy to come home at this stage and then just like keep watching the game and promoting the game as much as you can, because it's awesome. Best sport in the world.
Speaking of promoting the game, we've mentioned a couple of times now how different it was back then to what it is now. We have also partnered up like Gridiron Australia and do a lot of things with like young kids trying to get over to America. So is there any advice you can give to any of these kids that are wanting to have a crack these days?
Yeah, well, I was actually thinking about this the other day, and it's just like you owe it to yourself to give it a crack, because what's the worst that can come from it? You go over there and you do enough to go over there and you decide and you feel homesick. Cool, you can come home. You gave it a crack. Best case scenario, you're really good. You're buddy Jordan Mailata and you're making millions of dollars. That's awesome. Even then, you don't even have to, you don't even have to do that. Like, also great scenario. You go over there, you're not that great, but you still earn tens of thousands of dollars, maybe kicking around a camp somewhere or something like that. You're still earning money. You get a degree, you know, you get a degree, and you get a degree that pops off the page. Like, you got an employer here now. So you got a university degree at the University of Miami, the University of Texas? What were you doing over there? I was playing college football. Right. That's different. Like, that's that's different. You know, that jumps off the page a little bit more than I went to QUT or I went to La Trobe or something like that. It jumps off the page. And also, you can do all of that. You can live this amazing life in the US. And if you want to come home, you're still back in Australia by the time you're 23. You know, and like, we're so lucky in Australia where you can have this whole college career, this whole college life, and you can come back and you can still play local footy and local league until you're 36, 37, 38, if you want to.
Mm.
So you're not missing out. You're not missing out on anything. All the kids who like maybe wondering, oh, I don't want to stop playing footy with my mates or something like that. Like, those mates will always be there to come back to. And you can make great mates over there and have a whole different life experience. And if you don't want to stay there, you don't have to. You can always just come back, and it'll change your life for the better. It's just such a bloody experience. I advocate it to anyone who's thinking of having a crack, really.
Well, I
you feeling inspired, yeah. T-Mac? You feeling inspired?
Well, 31-year-old, is that, I can still go over there. I'll be right.
You'd have eligibility.
Yeah, I would have thought so. I did one day of university. That probably doesn't help me, unfortunately. My clock would have started 10 years ago. Just sitting back, we've only got a couple more questions for you, mate, but just sitting back, hearing you know, I know I'm going to cut that up straight away and put that on the socials. That was, you've cut an absolute promo for us right there, which is awesome. And just even sitting back and watching you speak, and you can see the glow in your face and how happy you are, just like reminiscing, mate. So really do appreciate you coming on and advocating for the sport, like you said, and telling your story. So I really appreciate your time.
I'll give you one last thing about a time that I wasn't as chuffed about the sport. So I briefly said when I played at Perth Blitz, over in WA, high snap went over my head. That nothing good came from this. I didn't get the kick away. No. Bloke takes out my knee, so I'm on the sideline there for like 6 weeks, right, with a knee injury. My brother is actually playing with us at the time. He has never played American football, not really big into football, big into sport in general. He's literally just playing it to get some time with his little brother. Has no idea what the rules are. Somehow he managed to play dime cornerback in a game. In one game he plays a cornerback, gets an interception.
Oh, no.
Gets an interception from a lame duck pass that literally landed in his lap, and he looked over at the bench to say, what now?
Run!
And they just went that way, that way. And then the week after, he's on kick return. Our kick returner runs it back the whole way, gets tackled down at the 2 yard line before lateraling it to my brother, who runs 2 yards for a kick return touchdown.
Touchdown, baby.
And so I may have the whole like, haha, I've got a science degree. And he just goes, interception, kick return for a touchdown.
You done. You're a nobody.
Never even played the game. Imagine how good I'd be if I even knew the rules.
Nah, that's awesome. And I love the, that's, yeah, good on him.
That was nearly enough to make me quit.
Good on him. Yeah, I would have hung up with this for sure. My final question was about what the reasons for you coming home, and you hit that on the head before. So thinking on the fly, I'm going to go with a question like, is there anything you would have done differently thinking back now?
I probably would have just been a bit more committed to the craft of punting, I reckon. I was just enjoying my time so much over there that I probably spent a lot of time with a lot of my teammates, but probably not enough actually honing my own craft and, you know, being better at it. Whether that would have changed anything, like, who knows? But, I mean, I say that, but at the same time, I probably wouldn't do much different. I wish I was a bit more educated about the process of going over there.
Mm.
So I had more eligibility up my sleeve, but that would have been nice. Like, it would have been good to have that much eligibility, like a bit more eligibility than just a couple of years. But that's probably the main thing. But the rest is just like I couldn't envision it any better. Like, had a bad year, then had a good year, and then made it to a Division II bowl game. Like, but we got waxed. In minus 30 degree with wind chill.
Yeah.
against a team from South Dakota that were like, this is nothing.
There was a reason I didn't bring up the bowl game, mate.
Oh, mate, just this, yeah. I was like, we had freshmen huddled around the heaters who weren't playing, and it was the most physical I got with my teammates, telling them to piss off away from the heater because I need these because my feet are about to fall off. Miserable experience, that one.
That's absolutely crazy. So obviously, yeah, had a great time. You came home with a Bachelor of Science, which is always a dream for all of us.
Yeah.
And now that you are home, you're quite a big deal in the media world. What does the future hold for yourself?
That's what I like to tell people anyway.
We're telling it too.
Mate, I don't know. I mean, I'm based in Brizzy now, been with Channel 7 in Queensland for a couple of years now, and obviously do a lot of different things. I did crime reporting for about a year and a half there, but I always get chucked on a lot of sport, being with a sport background. Who knows? I know I'm definitely here. I'm done moving. Like Adelaide, Melbourne, WA, Oklahoma, back to WA, back to go over to Wagga, up to Queensland. We're done. The flag's in the ground. Just up here doing as much as I possibly can. You know, keen to give back to the sport. Really, like I'd love to see more kids go over there. And that's one of the most rewarding things at the moment is that seeing so many kids going over there that aren't punters as well. Like, I suppose that's probably the next big thing I'd love for Australians in American football is to get away from the stereotype that you would have been a punter, yeah? And have more kids be like, nah, I was offensive lineman. Nah, I was a linebacker, running back, tight end, which we're starting to make those inroads now. So, like, the more we can promote the game, the more we can get all those different players from different sports to have a crack at it and see what is available to them. It's just going to be even better. And eventually, we do that enough, we might actually even get an NFL game down here eventually.
Yeah, we're definitely working hard with NFL Australia. Like, bring it down. We'll help fund it. We'll put $100 in towards it.
Yeah, we'll do it. Give us whoever I know the Jags are good now, but give us whoever the current day version of the Jags
are. Give us the Falcons. We'll take them. We'll take the Falcons.
Just give us, I don't know, just give us anyone.
The Vikings.
Give us the Cardinals. Give us the Cardinals.
Falcons, Cardinals. We'll take
the Cardinals. They're a basket case, but we'll take
them. Oh, yeah. They're a long season for them, but.
Oof. Rough.
We can't thank you enough for your time, mate. And we're definitely, I think when maybe when we're in Green Bay and the Packers are playing the Vikings, we'll have to get you back on here just to temper my expectations about how much we're going to flog you.
If you're looking for someone to come in like optimistic about the Vikings, I don't think I'm the guy for it. I'm just putting the energy out there saying, yeah, you're probably going to flog us. And
even with Jordan Love at the helm, questionable.
We've already spoken about this, Danny. He's home and hosed.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just waiting for who's coming after Kirk. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't deal with another season of a top eight quarterback that doesn't feel like a top eight quarterback.
Dream Kirk's gone after this.
He'll find a way to get re-signed. He will. He'll find a way to get re-signed, and we'll take another flyer on like a fourth round quarterback who gets cut after next year's training camp.
Yeah. You have Sam Bradford as the backup again.
Oh god. Hey, we started 6-0 that year.
Yeah. How did you go?
Fell off. We started 6-0 that year.
Yeah. Much appreciate your time, mate. We'll definitely we'll keep in touch.
Yeah. All good, mate. Very good. Thanks for having me on.
We'll catch you for a beer in Bris Vegas.
Exactly. Best place to be. Too easy.
Beautiful.